Welcome you to the evening service of Bethel Baptist Church, which conclude the entire day of activities. We just conclude the choir practice, the children ministry, and the pastor's class with the questions from this morning sermons. We welcome you here tonight, and we are glad, even though it's cold, we are glad you're here. And those who plug in into the internet and are listening, welcome too. We're going to sing, as always we do, 255, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. your majesty and your power. And as we look this afternoon again in John 1:1 and 1:14, what a great creation in Christ Jesus. A man limited and an unlimited man. He used his limitations to humble himself, and he used his unlimitations to show people that he was more than a man. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus. Bless us as we praise his name, and bless our brother, Pastor Thompson, as he shared the word with us. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right, the evening service always presents an option for you to choose a song. That will be, is that Brother Thompson going to play before the sermon? All right. Okay. I saw this instrument by his side. I thought that he's going to come with that and play tonight. Okay. All right. One song from your heart. Brother Plika.
Number 83.
That's good to sing songs about Christmas. All right. It's great. And tomorrow night, the ladies will have their Christmas party. And it will be fantastic, and I know it's going to be gorgeous. Number 83, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means? Boy, what a great class. All right. Song. Right here are all the songs in this area. Here, you hear this morning by the Noriel's family, Silent Night. What about 86? Away in a Manger. You know, that's a good one.
Yeah.
church. Whether it's Christmas song or not will be your choice. And if you are listening, you can type in our computer there and type the song you like to sing tonight too from your home. Yes, sir.
How about 231?
231. Are you sure for 231? You believe this? Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I had to check him. All right. Save. All right. Jesus save. That's good. Good, Brother Thompson. Doctrine. Jesus saved. Darlene?
106.
I'm reading the book by former President Carter, America is Down the Hill. And one of the things he said, in truth, I don't get to the political part, but he is sharing his faith. And he said when he became president, his faith do not leave him. He keep on his faith with him. But he is very political minded and being one in Christianity. And he said that he found very difficult to be with Muslims and the others because there are certain doctrines that we do not compromise. And I was surprised on the series of doctrine that he listed. Two of them is Jesus saved, that's it. And secondly, you are baptized by immersion. And to him was a big deal in the area. And he said, and as I shared that with people, they were reacting bad, and I don't like it. I'm a peaceful man. But their doctrine, he said, that you do not compromise. And that's one. Jesus saved. All right. Now, I don't know which one. 106 was?
106.
106. Tell me this story. Who? Oh, Jesus. All right.
Thank you.
change it. Anthony.
204.
Anthony, you're losing too much weight. You have to eat a little more steak and things like that, all right? Eat without fear, Anthony. Eat without fear. For your daddy will have to get a second job. All right. 204. 204. Your mother? And she had to do dialysis tomorrow?
Dialysis tomorrow?
Okay. All right. And Mary, you went home and?
Sleeping.
She's getting a bad cold, I guess. Is that right, Jack? Okay. This Jack is wild. It was every place. They is wild. You can't take a week vacation, Jack. All right. Yes, Patricia. I have some visions. 344. I want to announce it again. A new class of Sunday school is coming up, and that's the college class. And Pastor will be their teacher and get those college people going. First trip is Las Vegas. 344. All right.
Thank you.
Lara, this is the last one for this series, so our brother has a few more minutes. Okay, Lara. 381, all right.
You told me I have 3 hours.
That's a good one. Is this all in your altar? We sing 1, 2, and 4. Something that happened in my seminary 40 years ago. Every Friday we have a long chapel, and this guy was teaching and preaching in every book of the Old Testament, and he came to the book of Amos, and he said, what place you will give Amos? And somebody stood up and said, give my place because go home. He said, so be careful.
Don't forget your Bible. Okay. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. We'll pray. And then we'll talk. Acts chapter 2. And let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so very much for this time that you've given to us to look into your word and receive instruction and guidance, receive wisdom and hope, receive just your blessing upon us. And may your word, O Lord, go forth into our hearts and our minds to transform us and change us, that we may become more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. What's coming up in about 3 weeks? Yes. Hanukkah. Okay, we've got one guy looking for Hanukkah. Christmas is coming up. What do kids in particular enjoy most about Christmas? Presents. Okay, he's going to get his Ferrari. What we got to do is we got to get Pastor Ferrari about this big. So now he's got his Ferrari. He's done. There we go. Screensaver. He's got one. Gifts. Presents. And so I'm going to be teaching over the next 3 weeks, including at Pacific Hills, on gifts. In particular, gifts. And what I did was I looked in the scriptures for gift of. And I'm going to teach on about four of those. And so today, where do most people get their gifts? Daddy. Where does daddy get the gifts? Mommy. This guy knows this is what's up. Okay. Now, getting real. Where does mommy get the gift? Visa, MasterCard. Go to the store. Okay. This time period from Thanksgiving to Christmas is where all the retail stores make the majority of their money for that time period. I mean, if we, as all the people, says we're not going to shop for Christmas and buy any gifts at all, we'd shut down the retail establishment. What a power we have. And sometimes what I've discovered is there's an attitude of looking at the gifts. You ever see this? Well, let's see. Johnny gave me this, so I better make sure I get them this. I want to top their gift, or at least match it. You know, I sent out cards to everybody, and oh man, I forgot my cousin Bill, and he sent me this crate of something. You know, so next year I got to be sure and get Bill and top him. But I want to look at some very precious gifts. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 22 to 40. And then we're going to talk about a particular gift here. See if you can figure out what it is. Verse 22. This is Peter talking. It says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Remember that verse. I love that one. "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he should raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither was his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Anyone pick up the gift? The gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be talking today about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you join me at Pacific Hills, you hear about the gift of eternal life. And next Sunday evening, we're talking about the gift of righteousness. And the next one, we're going to be talking about the gift of salvation, right after the cantata. But tonight, we're going to focus on the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at the purchase of the gift, the purpose of the gift, and then possessing the gift. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit? Purchase the gift. So can I give Victor a gift that I don't have to give? Can I give Victor a brand new Ferrari? Okay. Pastor, I'll give you his Ferrari, okay? Can I do that? Is that possible for me to do? Okay, I don't have a Ferrari, so I can't give it to him. Okay, so I can't give what I don't have. And so in order for me to give him the Ferrari, I'd have to go and buy it. I have to go to the store and purchase it. So a gift to be given has to be purchased. So first thing I want to look is, let's look at verses 22 to 24. It says, Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. First question I have, who's the purchaser? In order for us to receive a gift, it's got to be purchased. Who purchased it? Who purchased the gift to give to us? Okay, God, Jesus. He's talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man approved of God. Well, how do we know he was approved of God? Did he pull out a piece of paper and says, right here, see? Piece of paper says, stamped, approved by God. Is that what he did? Yeah, miracles. How many of you can go outside and say, you dead person, arise from the dead? I don't know of anyone that can do that. But Jesus did. How many can go out and touch a leper and say, be healed, be cleansed? Touch a blind man, blind from birth, and say, see. Touch the lame who's been paralyzed and say, pick up your bed and go home. Jesus did miracles. And he did wonders in the same line. He looked at a man who was possessed by not just a demon, but thousands of demons, and says, you demons, get out of here. Go away. You have no place here. And they left. And the people were standing around saying, how did he do that? But he destroyed my pigs. Okay, he did wonders and he did signs. He did things that people look at him and says, whoa, there's something different here. But the cost, he says already, talks about the cost of it was determined before time. He says in verse 23, he says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God already knew the cost. God already knew the purchaser. God already knew what it was. And he determined and set and established that price. God didn't go, oh, man, we got a problem here. Well, what's this going to cost? And bring out his abacus and go, okay, this is what it's going to cost. But he knew ahead of time. With foreknowledge, he looked down and says, this is what it's going to cost. before the foundation of the world. So what would this gift cost? Did it cost money? Are they able to purchase it and pull out their Visa and say, put it on Raquel's credit card? No. Put it on Mary's? Well, let's find out about that part of it. Let's go over to Acts 8, verses 18 to 20. Acts chapter 8, verses 18. And when Simon, he was a magician, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Hey, this is a cool way to make a lot of money. You know, you give me a couple $1,000, I'll put my hands on you, you got the Holy Ghost. Done. But Peter, verse 20, but Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. It can't be bought. It cannot be purchased with money, cannot be purchased with anything that I possess. I cannot give Pastor anything and say, Pastor, give me the Holy Spirit. He could just look and says, I can't give it to you. It's not mine to give. I have it, but I can't give you the Holy Spirit because it's not mine to give. So what's it cost? Well, let's go back to Acts 2. So it was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Okay, that's the timeline when it was known. And he says, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The purchaser was slain. It cost blood. The cost was crucifixion by wicked men. It was by spilt blood. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. So if I go around and I'm going to, hey, you know, this guy wants the Holy Spirit. Well, we'll just slice up some blood, kill him, and, you know, we've got spilled blood. No. But we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This gift of the Holy Spirit cost God, cost Christ, his very blood. Only his blood was worthy. I can't go and slice Peter and say, Peter, cast aside your blood for me. I can't tell Victor, hey, Victor, you know, sorry, dude, but I need your blood to go away so I can live. It's not going to work. It's only the precious blood of Christ. God in flesh. It was his blood that had to be spilled. It was his blood that had to be cast aside. And one of the things is it says it was taken by wicked men. Well, who are the wicked men? Were the wicked men the Pharisees? It says, we don't like Jesus. We're going to take him out of the way. Was that the wicked men that put Jesus on that cross? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. We need to understand who these wicked men are that took the blood of Christ, placed him upon that cross. Paul writes and says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Who's the wicked ones that put Christ on the cross? Those Pharisees, it says, well, he blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He blasphemed God. Was that the wicked ones that placed Christ on that cross? Or was it me? Was it you? Am I the one that is the wicked one spoken of in those verses that place Christ on that cross? Because it says here, he was delivered for our sins, for the people of God. He was delivered and placed on that cross for my sins. I was that wicked individual. But he changed me. So we got the cost, the purchase of that gift. It was purchased by Christ. It was purchased with his blood by the wicked people that sin. But why? If I'm going to give a gift to somebody, does this seem like a good thing to do on, you know, today's Sunday and day it ends in Y? Sounds like a good thing to give a gift? Is that why we commonly give gifts? Why do you give gifts? If you're going to give a gift to someone, why? Special occasions. Okay, there's special occasions that we give gift. Birthday, anniversary, you know, Christmas, like a holiday. 4th of July, people might give gifts. Easter, give gifts for a holiday, a special event, something I just want to remember. Another reason people give gifts is for a, you know, form of personal remembrance. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say get well, just thinking of you. I just want to say I love you, which is what this gift is all about. But there's a reason that we give a gift. And this reason, we can look at verse 37. We begin to get a picture of part of the reason. It says in Acts 2:37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Why give this gift of the Holy Spirit? Because it's available? Or because it has an effect? So if we go over to John 16, verses 7 and 8, he tells us and begins opening up why he gave us a gift. John 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Why did he send the Spirit? Why would God send the Holy Spirit? Convict you of sin. I cannot be held guilty if I'm never put on trial and said and exposed to how I violated the law and says you are found to be guilty. But see, the Word of God carries with it the law that exposes my sin. But if I don't have the Holy Spirit, I just look at it and says, cool. Writings by a bunch of old men, cool. Who cares? But the Holy Spirit opens us up and says, this is you. You're a liar, you're a cheater, you're a stealer, you're a thief, you're an adulterer. You forsake God. You have murdered, you have stolen. You know, well, list them all. It says, yeah, that's you. You have violated every single one of those, and sometimes twice. And then you woke up. Okay? So it convicts you of the sin, but what else? Let's go over to John 14. Verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." A lot of us will have kids in school, or do have, and sometimes if there's a struggle in a class, what do? We hire a tutor. And says, "Tutor, help this out. You're the expert in math. You're the expert in physics and biology. Help my kid out to do better so they understand." That's the Holy Spirit. You've got your own personal tutor. He gets to teach you all things. He gets to open up your eyes and says, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have gone 175 miles per hour on the freeway. Pass the CHP booth." Okay? It's the Holy Spirit that tells us that we shouldn't turn our back upon God. It's the Holy Spirit that tells us you need to seek me. That's why we have prayer on Wednesdays. time for us to come together as a people of God and pray and to seek God's face. So he's the teacher of the things of God. Now, the Holy Spirit is not going to tell you, okay. Now, the second derivative of this equation is this. He doesn't care about that. He's going to teach you of things of righteousness, the things of God. But what else? Why else give the Holy Spirit? So he teaches you the things of God. He convicts you of your sin, and he teaches you. Let's also go to Ephesians chapter 1 and learn more about what the gift of the Holy Spirit does for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And Paul writes, and he's talking of Christ, he says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, of whom I also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." See, the Spirit of God was given not just to convict us of our sins, not just to teach us of the things of God, but to mark you, to seal you and say, you are mine, no one can take you. I have conversations from time to time with people about, can you lose your salvation? You know, the Bible says that you are in the hands of God and no man can take you from me. They say, yeah, but you can jump out. I'm going, wait a second. Am I stronger than God? And if I can leave God, then I don't have a seal. But the Holy Spirit is our seal. It's our down payment that says, yo, you belong to me. You are mine and not your own. Scriptures talk about us having been bought with a price. When you are purchased, if I was to buy Pastor the Ferrari, Can I go up to him a couple weeks later and say, I'm glad you enjoyed the gift, but I'm taking it back. Right? How many of you give a gift and a couple weeks later says, I hope you enjoyed that gift, but I'm taking it away from you now. See, it's a seal. It doesn't change. You can't remove it. You can't destroy it. It is sealed. You are signed, sealed, and delivered to God for all eternity. The Holy Spirit, why do we get it? Convict us of our sin, to teach us of the things of God, and to seal us as belonging to God. But what do we do when we possess the gift? Okay, I've given the Ferrari to Pastor. Now what's he do with it? Park it in the garage? Or sneak out at night and run around and see if he can outrun the police? What's the purpose of the gift? See, the gift, once it's given, it's possessed by the recipient. The giver no longer has it. It now belongs to the recipient. So what do we do with it? How do we possess it? Let's look at verses 38 to 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many the Lord our God shall call. So I'm going to look at three things here. One, the gift is possessed by repentance. Go to Ezekiel 33 in verse 11. God tells Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33:11, say unto them, say unto all the people here, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So I look at the people who are wicked, who deny me, who do everything that they can to destroy another, and I do not have a party. I do not rejoice and say, yeah, they got what's coming to them. Instead, what does he say? But he says, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? See, God is not interested in the turning of those people that are never his. He says, turn ye, O house of Israel. The children of God, turn to me. You're walking along a path. If I'm going to go to Gilroy, I'm going to go on the street and I'm going to walk north, right? How long will it take me to get to Gilroy walking north? Long time. Yeah. Have to cross a couple of oceans. Get real cold by the time I get up to Alaska anyway. Canada and Alaska. It's going to take me a long time to get there. See, I can't really get to Gilroy walking north. But if I turn south, how long will it take me? It'll take me a while, but not an impossible task. And so that's what God is saying. He's saying, you're walking in the wrong direction. Turn around, repent, and turn towards me, O house of Israel. So we possess the gift by repentance, by turning from our way and turning towards God's. And in Acts chapter 2, he also says, Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized. Be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Well, what's he talking about? So I'm going to go to a favorite passage of some people. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:21. See, a lot of people will talk about, yeah, in order to be saved, you've got to be having a water baptism. And let's turn to 1 Peter 3:21 and see how that's so. 1 Peter 3:21, and they miss it. So he's talking, let's start in verse 20. It says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Noah and his family were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. They stop there. See? Baptism saves. Okay, well, let's continue. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must be baptized by Christ. The water baptism gets you wet. It's a sign. It's a picture that says, I am dead to my sins and I'm alive in Christ. But that water baptism isn't what saves you. That's what Peter says. You go down in the water, cool. But if you have not been baptized by Jesus, your baptism's nothing. So it says, we possess the gift by repentance. Repenting and turning from our sins. Possess the gift by baptism, by being baptized by Christ and into Christ. And then in Acts 2, verse 39, he says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I carry my cell phone here, and Christ can call me anytime, but that's not how he's going to reach you. He's not going to dial up your cell phone and say, yo, Victor, your time's come to be saved. That's not the calling he's talking about. But it says you must be called. So what kind of call? What does this look like? Let's go over to Luke chapter 18. We are saved and possess it through a calling. Luke 18, 10 to 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee. The other, a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess, except for my stocks. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That publican, the tax collector, the evil of evils in that culture. Actually, I'm not sure things have changed a whole lot. But the evil of evils, the guys that you just, can't stand the sight of. Jesus says he wouldn't even look up. He wouldn't look up and say, God, you know, look at me. But he would look down and say, God, I'm nothing, I'm worthless. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. We have to possess a gift by repentance, turning from our sins, acknowledging our sins, and turn towards Christ. We have to be baptized through Christ, and we have to be called by Christ to acknowledge our sins, acknowledge our depravity, our need for Him. And if I wanted to summarize everything up, 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. It says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That gift of the Holy Spirit, most precious of gifts, allows you to look to God and to thank Him for loving you enough to send His Son to die for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so very much for the gift of the Holy Spirit that exposes our sin and our iniquity, exposes our need for you. And also, O Lord, opens up our eyes to the reality of your gift of eternal life, to the reality of your presence and the hope that we can have in you. We thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. In Jesus' name, amen.